Welcome to Tori Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Vesser, and today we'll be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Lamatet, Chapter 39. This is the Perek of the Churban. It's sad that it happened, but it's so sad that it had to happen. All the predictions that Yirmiyahu had came true. Everything he was worried about happened, and it didn't have to. It could have been averted every step of the way, if only Yoshiyahu hadn't fought Paro Necho. If only Jehoiakim had listened to the scroll, if only he would have stopped when the Babylonians were occupiers, not destroyers, if only Hananiah ben Azor hadn't broken the yoke, if only Tzidkiyahu didn't give in every time to the people, to his officers, to everyone, if only at the last minute Tzidkiyahu would have been brave enough to give himself up to the Babylonians, if only Bnei Yisrael would have stood up for what's right and not what was convenient. If only they would have let their better selves prevail. If only they would have remembered their Torah ideals. If only. Yirmiyahu sits locked up on the palace grounds and describes the scene that is happening around him. It happened on Ashtei Asrei Shana L'Tzidkiyahu, B'Chodesh HaRevi'i, B'Tish'a L'Chodesh. On the 11th year of Tzidkiyahu, on the 4th month, on the 9th of the month, the day that we call Tisha B'Av. The Babylonians storm the city and prepare to raise it to the ground. Tzidkiyahu, in a move that surprises no one, decides to flee with his family and the army, deciding not to take one last stand against the Babylonians. He steals away at night, running between the outer and inner walls of the city. In Perek 34, Yirmiyahu had told Tzidkiyahu in verse 3, "Va'ata lo timaleit miado, you will not escape from his hand. Kitafos titafes, you're going to be caught. Ubiado tinatein, you'll be given over to his hand. Ve'enecha et enei melech Bavel tirena, your eyes will see the king of Bavel. You will be brought before him. You'll look him in the face. Upiwal picha diber, he's going to speak to your mouth. Mouth to mouth, you'll be speaking to each other. Ubavel tavo, and you'll be brought down to Babylonia." Here, in Perek 38, Tzidkiyahu had confessed that he was scared to give himself up to the Babylonians. Now, as Yirmiyahu promised, it ends up much worse for him. What people thought of as weak was actually strength, and now, when he needs to show strength, his weakness is revealed. Tzidkiyahu is captured by the Babylonians as he is fleeing and brought to Rivlah, up north in the land of Aram, where Nebuchadnezzar was stationed. Remember, Yirmiyahu told him, "Ve'enecha eleinei melech Bavel tirena upihu al picha yedaber." Your eyes will see the eyes of the king of Babylonia, and your mouth will speak to his mouth. Look what happens next, and see how it fulfills Yirmiyahu's prophecy exactly. I'm reading from verse 5 in chapter 39. "Vayirdifu chel kazdi machareihem." The Chaldean army chases after them. "Vayasigu et Tzidkiyahu baravot yirecho, vayichu oto." Vayalu el Nebuchadrezzar melech Bavel rivlata be'eretz chamat, vayidaber ito mishpatim. They find Tzidkiyahu, they grab him in the plains of Yericho, and they take him and they bring him up to where Nebuchadnezzar is stationed in the land of Rivlah, and they put him on trial for not being loyal, on trial for not giving himself up, on trial for going against the king of Babylonia that put him on the throne to begin with. And then, finding him guilty, in verse 6, "Vashchat melch Bavel et b'nei Tzidkiyahu v'rivla le'enav." In front of his eyes, Nebuchadnezzar takes Tzidkiyahu's children, and one by one, he kills them. "V'kol chorei Yehuda shachat melch Bavel," and he also kills the other important people that Tzidkiyahu had brought with him. And then, in a final act of cruelty, in verse 7, "Vet enei Tzidkiyahu iver," he then blinds Tzidkiyahu in his eyes, having it be that the last thing that he saw was the murder of his own children. And you just can imagine what's going through Tzidkiyahu's mind, how none of this actually had to happen, how he was scared to give himself up to the Babylonians in the last perek. And Yirmiyahu said, "Don't you realize it's going to be so much worse for you? You're worried about being tortured by the people who had already given themselves up." First of all, says Yirmiyahu, I promise you that that won't happen. But second of all, Don't you realize you'll be tortured anyway? And now, this is the torture of Tzidkio. Vayasreo ben chushtayim leviyoto bavela. And they tie him up in chains, and they bring him down to Bavel. Yirmiyahu then switches perspectives and tells us what was happening in Jerusalem as he lay locked up on the grounds of the palace. In verse 8, Vet beit hamelech vet beit ha'am sarfu hakasdim va'esh. The Chaldeans, the Babylonians, they burned down the palace and the Beit Ha'am, the house of the people. Bet Chomot Yerushalayim Natatu, and they raised the walls of the city. What you have here is the entire description of the Chorban in one pasuk. Just one verse that tells us about the destruction of Yerushalayim. Of course, in Megillat Eicha, Yirmiyahu will tell us much more. He'll tell us how he's feeling. He'll bring lots of different parables, Mishalim, to explain how the city has fallen. He's going to talk about how terrible it was and what was actually all the details of what was going on. But here in Sefer Yirmiyahu, there's one pasuk. This is Yirmiyahu's vindication. Now everyone knows he's not a Navi Sheker. Now they know that what he wanted was actually best for them. But he doesn't dwell on it. Now that it happened, now that his worst nightmare is coming true, now is the time where he could tell them, I told you so. Don't you realize, B'nai Yisrael, that I was right? And he doesn't. It's almost like it's too sad to talk about. He doesn't need to go into detail. The detail is reserved to get the people to do teshuvah. All those different mishalim that Yirmiyahu brought this whole time, what does it matter now? Well, now it happened, and now he's quiet. This phrase, if you noticed, in this pasuk, it doesn't even mention the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. However, there's this enigmatic phrase, Beit Ha'am, the house of the people. Now, Radak explains that this is referring to the houses of B'nai Israel, Beit Ha'am, the house of the people. But that would mean that there's really no mention of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash in Sefer Yirmiyahu at all. Listen to the parallel pasuk in Sefer Melachim. It says, and again also written by Yirmiyahu, Vayisrof et Beit Hashem, vet Beit HaMelech, vet kol batei Yerushalayim, vet kol Beit Gadol saraf ba'esh. They burned down the house of Hashem, the Beit HaMikdash, the house of the king, and all of the houses of Yerushalayim and every great house that was burned in fire. Now this Beit Ha'am, if it was really referring to the houses of the people, it really should say Batei Ha'am, like it says in Malachim, Batei Yerushalayim. So it could be that Beit Ha'am is actually referencing the Beit HaMikdash. In which case, why would it be called Beit Ha'am and not, like it says in Malachim, Beit Hashem? And perhaps the answer is that what Yirmiyahu had been telling them this whole time about the Beit HaMikdash is that the Beit HaMikdash is a home for Hashem only if you make it a home for Hashem. And Soloveitchik talks about this in his article, A Synagogue as an Institution and as an Idea. And he says, a synagogue is a place where people make an appointment to confront God. But it in of itself is not important unless that's how people treat it. They say, and he says, it's not a house of God, it's a home of God. Because people make it a home for God, because they call God there. And that's what Yirmiyahu had been telling them. In Perek Zion, in chapter 7, Yirmiyahu told them, you're making the Beit HaMikdash into a marat pritzim, a den of thieves, a place to actually hide from Hashem. And then we see that Hashem leaves the Beit HaMikdash and goes with B'nai Israel into Galut and Galut Yehoyachin to establish a new presence in the Galut, where maybe they can relearn to have a relationship with him and not just be lost in the empty ritual. And now Yirmiyahu says, it's the Beit Ha'am. It's your house. And he doesn't mention it as a Beit Hashem in this pasuk at all, because you pushed Hashem out. He pushed Hashem out of the Beit HaMikdash and chose to use it for your own purposes. You chose to use the beautiful rituals of the Beit HaMikdash to make yourselves feel good, while at the same time you promoted a completely corrupt society and worshipped idols. While you had kings who told you that that was the right way to act. While you had kings who actively tried to kill their Nevi'im, and other kings who didn't stop people from trying to kill the Nevi'im. It's not the Beit Hashem anymore. It's the Beit Ha'am, the house of the nation. And that's actually the reason why it was destroyed. Because a Beit Ha'am, it doesn't need to stand. A house where people can go to make themselves feel religiously positive, when actually their actions don't back it up, where there's no spiritual experience at all, Hashem's not there anymore. Hashem already went to Galut with Bnei Yisrael. Nebuchadnezzar then gives a specific command about Yirmiyahu to take him out of prison and give him over to the care of Gedaliah ben Achikam ben Shaphan. That name should sound familiar. First of all, we have a fast day commemorating what's going to be the death of Gedaliah, as we're going to read a few prakim later. But this Gedaliah ben Achikam ben Shaphan was the one who saved Yirmiyahu from the mob back in chapter 26. Gedaliah is his son. Achikam's brother, Gemariel ben Shaphan, he's the one who brought the scroll to Yehoiakim back in chapter 36. Shaphan, the grandfather, he's the one who found the Sefer Torah in the time of Yoshio, so who originally started off the big tshuva movement in Bnei Israel. So Gedaliah is from the Shaphan family. These are Yirmiyahu's allies. They're the ones who always protect him, who back him up. Now it makes sense to us why he was going to be appointed by the Babylonians, because they see him as a friend. He supported Yirmiyahu, who supported the Babylonians as occupiers. They don't think Gedaliah is going to ferment rebellion the way that Yehoiakim and Tzidkiyahu did. Everyone is exiled except for very, very few, very poor people, and Gedaliah is now established as their governor, and Yirmiyahu is given over to his care to make sure that he is okay. Yirmiyahu is someone that the Babylonians trust, and you can just imagine what Yirmiyahu is thinking. This is not going to look good for me. If you remember, back in Parak 37, he was accused of collaborating with the Babylonians. Elakazdima Tanofel, they said, you've defected. And Yirmiyahu says, no, I haven't defected. I'm not colluding with the Babylonians. I'm giving a nevuah. It's the same nevuah that I've been given for many years since the time of Yehoiakim. But the Babylonians, they see it the way some of the Jews see it. They are appreciative of Yirmiyahu's prophecy, and therefore Nebuchadnezzar gives a special command to take care of Yirmiyahu. The parak ends with a prophecy to Yirmiyahu while he is still in the Chatzar HaMatarah, so it goes back a little earlier, but it's placed at the end. And this is the prophecy. Pasuk Tet Zayin, verse 16. Haloch v'amarta le'eved melech hakushi le'mor. Kalmar Shem Tzvakot Elokei Yisrael, Hinini mevi et devarai el ha'ir azot l'ra'a v'lo l'tova, v'yu l'fanecha b'yom ha'hu. The prophecy is given to Evan Melech HaKushi, the one who saved Yirmiyahu from the pit, Tzidkiyahu's Ethiopian servant. And it says, I am going to bring my words on this city. My prophecy is going to come true, and it's going to be for bad, not for good. The city's going to be destroyed. This is going to happen imminently. Verse 17, V'hitalticha b'yom ha'hu ne'um Hashem, you will be saved. V'lo tinatein b'anan Hashem asher atai agur mipnechem, you will not be given over into the hands of the people that you are scared of. Who are those people that Evan Melech HaKushi is scared of? He's scared of the other officers of Tzidkiyahu because he saved Yirmiyahu from the pit. He took a moral stand, but his life is then in danger. And Yirmiyahu said to him at that time, I'm telling you, very soon the city's going to be destroyed, but you will not. Ki malet amaltecha, says Yirmiyahu, you are going to escape, unlike Tzidkiyahu and the officers who ran away. You who take a moral stand, you will be saved. Ubacherav lo tipol, you will not be killed, neither by those people nor by the Babylonians. Vayitalachan nafshachal shalal ki batachta bi ne'um Hashem. Your life will be your spoils. You won't come out of this rich, but you will come out of it alive because you trusted in me. You are Baruch HaGever Asher Batach Hashem. You are the man who is blessed because he believed in Hashem. You, a non-Jew, you, an outsider, you're the one who trusted in me, says Yirmiyahu. And that's the end of the Parak of the Chorban. It ends with a whisper, not with a bang, with something so small, an individual nevuah to one person, and a person who isn't even Jewish. What a strange way to end the most devastating perek in Jewish history. But when you think about it, it's not strange. It's actually perfect, and it's full of hope. Evan Melech HaKushi taught that one person can make a difference. One person can see morality in the midst of an entire society that has been corrupted. One person can stand up to a king and say, Adoni HaMelech, Hareyu ha'anashim ha'ele, my master the king, these people are evil. Yirmiyahu's message is always and will be always to the individual. You don't have to go along with your society. You don't have to sink to your worst self. If society falls, take a stand and say something, even if it feels like it will make no difference. Yirmiyahu had wandered around Jerusalem looking for one moral person, and on the day before the Chorban, he finds him. He is a non-Jewish slave, but he is moral. He is the exception that proves that there still can be good people who do the right thing just because it's right. In closing, this is the Chorban. Downplayed, undramatic, simple. It focuses on people, not on buildings. The decision of Tzidkiyahu to run away, the freeing of Yirmiyahu from imprisonment when it is just about too late, the prophecy to Evan Melech HaKushi, because at the end of the day, the Beit HaMikdash is only a building, unless it is infused with the actions of people. It could be a Beit Hashem, or it can be a Beit Ha'am, based on how the society will view it and how they'll treat it. At the end of the day, the words ring true, Va'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. Make me a holy place, and I will reside within you. The place is only holy if it causes some type of moral action. And this is what Yirmiyahu teaches us till the end. And this is how he closes his most devastating parak in the Sefer. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilo Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Zvi Yosef.